On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12, he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Do you remember, as a family or with friends, do you find yourself saying these words sometimes? Remembering perhaps a wonderful day, a joyous occasion, an embarrassing moment. Might be you remember the first time you rode a bike, drove a car. Memories are important, aren't they? Memories form us and shape us. In your imagination, be with Jesus tonight and the disciples. It is an evening of remembering. Remembering for them a key event in their nation's story. The Passover. In Exodus 12, a meal laden with meaning. They remembered how they were delivered from the last plague, when the firstborn of all humans and animals died, and where they were told to smear the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the lintel posts of their houses which would identify them as Israelites and not Egyptians. They would remember Moses leading the people out and Pharaoh changing his mind. Can you see them in your mind's eye as they head across towards the Red Sea? And then behind them, they can hear the sound of Pharaoh's army thundering up behind them. Can you feel the fear? Red Sea in front of you, Pharaoh's army behind you. And then the amazement when the water parts and they're able to walk across. And they walked across to a journey through which they had many trials until they reached the promised land. And in a family, as they ate the Passover meal, the youngest person would ask the adults there the various questions. Why are we eating lamb tonight? Why have we got bitter herbs? Why is this unleavened bread, bread without yeast? And so what was happening was the youngsters were being told their salvation story. Now, in your imagination, that's the background to this meal that they were going to share. The Last Supper, the Passover meal. Can you be with those disciples as they remembered? Verse 12. The disciples asked Jesus, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations?" Isn't that a question we ask at Christmas time? Do you find people saying to you, "Where are you going to spend Christmas?" We all seem to do that, don't we? And it's very much like the question that these disciples were asking. Where do you want us to go and make preparations so we can eat the Passover? And as with any special occasion, a room has to be found. The table has to be set and the food prepared. The lamb, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread. The first Jews had no time to prepare with yeast when they escaped from Egypt, which is why the bread is unleavened. And then there would have been wine there. Two are sent ahead to make preparations. And they're told to follow a man carrying a water jar. Now that would have been very unusual, because in that culture it was the women who carried the water jars. So he would have been very conspicuous. Someone Jesus knew. He'd already started the preparations, hadn't he, when you read these verses. Say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, "Where is my guest room?" So it must have been someone that Jesus knew. And these preparations were finished. And now it's evening. And Jesus and the disciples, the rest of the disciples, arrive. And they eat reclining on long sofas, very different to our culture. Can you imagine sitting there, the 12 of you with Jesus, this man you spent 3 years living with, seeing all sorts of things, miracles performed, amazing things happening, and you've heard his teaching. And then hear the shock of the words that Jesus spoke. "One of you will betray me. One who is eating with me." See their faces. They were saddened. And you hear them say, "Surely you don't mean me." Someone who shared table fellowship, which in that culture was the worst kind of betrayal. The emotion that not only the disciples felt, but also Jesus. Here's one of his close followers who is going to betray him. And while they're eating, Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them. "Take it," he says. "This is my body, broken for you." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, and they all drank. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." These were not words that they would have heard at the usual Passover meal. What did they at that point make of that? This is an evening the disciples are going to remember, a weekend that they will remember. And Jesus tells them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Every communion service is a remembering, telling our salvation story, hearing our salvation story, which keeps us on track. It's part of our formation. The first disciples didn't realize this. It was only when they remembered what Jesus had said later that things began to fall into place. They could only live the events of this coming weekend forward and came to understand them backwards, as we often do. For the disciples, this was such a powerful connection to the story of Moses. The Israelites were freed from slavery to the Egyptians. We are freed from the power of our badness. And Jesus opens the way back to God by the power of his goodness. As with the Israelites, they had a lot to learn in the desert about living free. They'd lived as slaves for so long. The slave mentality was still within them. They had to learn how to live freely, just as we do. This is part of our journey as individuals and a community, learning to grow, learning to mature in the knowledge of God's love, his forgiveness, his acceptance of us, and that call to live as followers of Jesus. As darkness descends when Jesus dies, it looks as though the light of the world has gone out. Darkness has won. Jesus shows us in his dying the crippling weight of our disobedience, our sin, and that of all human beings. Can we stay with that? Can our journey home this evening mirror the journey of those first disciples? They sang a hymn at the end of this meal. They walked to the Mount of Olives, and in a very short time, most of them fled in the darkness from fear. Most of them left Jesus. It can be a temptation to rush on to Easter Sunday. The joy, the delight. But can we stay with those first disciples and the women followers as they live the next 2 days? Can we imagine what a terrible time for them it was? We know the end of the story, but they didn't. For them, it represented the end of everything, their hopes, their dreams, absolutely everything. And that was a tough 2 days to live through. Can we stay both with both the starkness of that evening, this Maundy Thursday evening as we go home and into Good Friday, and as well with the cost of a love that is beyond our understanding, which will make Easter Sunday a time of deeper engagement.